A sin in Hollywood.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Storm, and Michael, go ahead.
Hey, this is Michael Rogers, no more BS tonight, and we got a lot of BS to talk about. The election and other things, but we have some good, awesome guests this evening. So without no further ado, let's talk about those because they're more interesting than the politicians. So we'll have Avanova Smith in a few minutes if she's not on already. And then we have one other person. And how do I pronounce her name? I forgot to ask.
Courtney.
Courtney, where are you from, Courtney?
I am from Tanawha, Washington.
Tanawha?
In the Bay Area.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, thanks for being here. Just let's see where what Sean thinks here, because he's got the studio in front. If he's got Evan over there or not.
I don't have Evan over there. I'm doing Craig.
Okay, you see Greg. Okay, Craig.
But nobody else. So.
Okay. So as they see, say you want to do it on her feet and switch it because she's not there yet?
Yeah, I always talk to you, Courtney.
Okay.
So, Courtney, where do you live right now?
I live in Tanawha, Washington.
Oh. So how do you like Tanawha? How do you like where you live?
How do you like where you live?
I really like where I live, and it's very good for smart transportation.
Love transportation.
Transportation, all right.
Do you have a bus? A bus system in your area?
No, we don't.
That's
why I've been advocating for transportation because there's no transportation out here.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Tell a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 25. When I was in school, I did a leadership program to make me, to shape me of being a good self-advocate. So once I got out of school, I was a star coordinator, and that put me in that leadership role. And then I've been advocating for 13 years, for more than 13 years.
Cool.
Awesome. Michael, do you have any questions?
Well, I don't think we've actually ever met. I might be wrong with that. So, what other organizations or groups do you belong to? If you don't mind sharing.
I belong to the Self-Advocacy and Leadership. I also belong in the National Council of Self-Advocates as the officer. I am part of People's Voice of Washington. I am the Lewis County Chapter Secretary. And cool. I will be switching chapters, but my term is at Secretary
cool.
of the County.
Cool. The people first of Washington just recently, was it two weeks ago, had a convention in Spokane, which is on the other side of the state from where me and Sean are.
Yeah, the result of the board, like Kane Nash is the board president.
Yeah.
Sam is the vice president. Allen from the Fulton County chapter of People's Search is secretary. Another person from Fulton County, Mark Silver, is the treasurer.
Yeah.
And Robert Rodell is the treasurer.
Robert Rodell is a historian.
He's for the Senate Special Rep.
Right. He's a historian.
Yeah,
he's a historian. So there's that. And I believe that's a 2-year term.
I don't know.
I think so.
The board is active, it's every 3 years.
Oh, 3 years, okay.
Because since they did in 2021, the next election for the executive board will be in 2024.
How long have you been involved with People First?
I've been involved with People First for 11 years. I started in People First actually in 2008. That's when I was the star coordinator. The Fulton County advisor was paying me. Then since that was cut due to budget cuts back in 2010, and then it turned into the Fulton County chapter of People's First. And I was the first Fulton County chapter secretary. I've been with the Fulton County chapter since 2018 because some things have happened in that chapter. So I transferred to Lewis County in January of 2018.
Cool.
And I've been with the Lewis County chapter since then.
I'm hearing some bad things about Lewis County. So that's why I will be transferring in January of 2020 to Wheat. Well, that's both positive and negative. Michael, you had a question?
Yeah, I was just curious about, what made you want to be involved in advocacy?
The reason why I want to be involved in advocacy, it was because of my parents. The way that they stood up to the doctors when I was first born, they wanted me to be institutionalized. They were about to send me to an institution. My parents stood up to the doctors saying, don't put her in an institution.
Awesome.
And they took me in, and I was so proud because they wanted to love me. They really did unconditionally. The other reason why my parents inspired me to advocate is because my mom was my hard-working soul, and she passed away in January of 2014. And I just want to continue what she did for me.
Wow, that's powerful just in itself. So when you were diagnosed with a disability, they were like, oh no, but you've made it into lemonade. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. I live the similar story of Eric Mace's because me and him have similar stories.
Cool.
And I really appreciate that a lot. I just see where he was coming from, and I just see where I was coming from. My dad was in the Navy for 21 years, so I moved around every 3 years.
Yeah, my dad was in the service too, was in the Army. But they looked at my legs a few times and said, you ain't going nowhere, young man. But, and they kept my dad home for most of it, except Hawaii. But, my dad, we have that experience of being military kiddos.
My dad was a Vietnam vet.
See, I learned something new even about my best friend's father. Do you mind me asking what your disability is?
I have mosaic Down syndrome. My dad thinks it's standard Down syndrome, but there's no such thing as high function standard Down syndrome. So I'm fully mosaic.
That's awesome. I have, I figure if I told you, asked you yours, I have cerebral palsy. And and I'm 54. I'm the oldest man on the channel for sure. But doing well. And you probably know who my wife is, Emily Rogers.
Yeah, I do know your wife. And she's really amazing.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I totally agree. So I was curious about one thing. Is there anything you would like our audience to know about you that you haven't said yet?
Like, I've been so involved in leadership that I just wanted to take it to a whole new level. To make it international.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And also, you are a part of the Shut Them Down Coalition. What made you get involved with this coalition?
The reason why I am so involved with the Shut Them Down Coalition is because of what I said earlier about my daughters wanting to put me in an institution, and my parents did not want that for me. So I'm trying to stand up for that, and also standing up for my friends who was institutionalized. And I know that being in institutions, like, it's very hard for people like us, being treated like animals. We do not deserve that at all. And we do have the right to be heard. And the people in those institutions were not being heard. They're getting beat up and all that, or getting yelled at. And I did not want that for my friends who were in those institutions. So that's why I stood up and tried to inspire more people to make sure that those institutions are shut down permanently. Because I don't want my friends being hurt or killed because of the institutions.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, I would say that one of the things that we need to work on is how to make better community for people to live in. So one of the things, we've all talked about local stuff, and there's going to be a piece about later on tonight about how to write your legislators in Congress about a bill that they're talking about. Everybody's been talking about it. It's time to pass it, and instead of so we can have an opportunity to get people out. So I appreciate you sharing that, and your input and your knowledge base is very much appreciated. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Father.
And I'm also about the American dream. So I live in the community because I lived in the community for all my life, even though that I was living in and out of military bases the whole life.
Once we get off the air, I'll ask Sean how to get a hold, give you a number to get a hold of me, because I work for GDA. But as a human being, as Michael Rogers, if there's anything I can do to help you, let me know.
Okay.
And of course, if you know my wife, that's one thing. So wanted you to know that. Sean, I have somebody trying to call me to get into the show. So I will hang up and come right back in, all right?
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm waiting. Corner. What are the hobbies? What hobbies do you like to do? Do you want me to read that? Let me read that. What are the hobbies you like to do?
Oh, I have lots of hobbies. Like when I'm down, I will listen to music, like calming music, and I love to color. I love riding on my ATV. And my other favorite hobbies are going to people's first conventions every year.
Wow. So you have an ATV. That's cool.
I have my own quad. It's a four-wheel ATV.
Wow. Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I have my own four-wheel. But it's my real car. So, are you involved in Special Olympics?
Yes, I'm very involved in Special Olympics. I started Special Olympics in 2007. The first sport that I did for Special Olympics was swimming, and it continues to be basketball, then softball, and then powerlifting. I quit basketball to do cheer and dance. I still do basketball for fun. And I've always had that passion for basketball. Even though that I'm not going to compete in it because I have a conflict because I do the Special Olympics cheer and dance.
Oh.
So I've been doing cheer and dance, and I'm on the national Special Olympics team for cheer and dance.
Wow.
And I will be competing in the Special Olympics National Games in 2022 in Orlando, Florida.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Well, that would be fun for you to go to Orlando. I've been to Orlando one time to Walt Disney World, so that was fun. Let me see, can you, let me ask you this one.
Can you tell people why do you like living in the community?
The reason why I love living in the community is because so I can actually go to recreation programs. I do these recreation programs because I can see more people like myself in the community and having fun, like going to dances, doing movies and cooking classes. And many more life skills in these recreation programs.
Okay. That sounds like you are really busy. And you're still busy. Yeah.
And I do always be busy.
I'm going back to advocacy.
Now we are going to move into advocacy. Do you remember the first thing you advocated for?
The first thing I was advocating for was transportation, but I really do want to advocate for all areas of advocating, like the schools, the day services, the housing, and caregiving, since my dad is my caregiver, and I want to see more people like my dad out there to have more caregivers. So I advocate for caregivers and health care.
Awesome. That's awesome. You said you were involved with self-advocate and leadership. How long have you been involved with SAIL?
I've been involved in the self-advocacy and leadership for 2 years.
Yeah.
I was suspended from that group.
But
I'm reinstating now. I'm back in. Like, I said my suspension, and now that I've served this, I'm fully back in now. And I want to run for the self-advocacy and leadership office as secretary.
So what did that thing about SAIL?
I really love the group a lot.
Yeah.
And it really means the world to me.
Awesome. Well, that's most of my questions for you. So, thank you so much, Courtney, for joining us tonight. Thank you for being here.
Are you welcome, Sean? I love being on radio.
So I'm going to put you on here. I'm still waiting for Michael to come back. But what I'm going to do now, since Ivanova is not here yet, is I pre-recorded an interview. Oh. Oh my God. Michael is back. So, hey Michael.
Hey Sean, are you there?
Yes. Barry, I muted myself.
Don't worry, we're good.
So,
I'm back.
Was your friend able to hang on?
He's going to do that, but I need you to send me the text number to send to him so he can get on.
On the phone number.
Okay, if you can do that without messing up the radio show in the process. It's called live radio, right?
Yeah.
I just don't have the number memorized, so I can afford it to him.
Hey, I don't do that. So,
he's an employment specialist.
There you go.
Okay, there you go.
So we will have an employment specialist in a minute. I'm going to see why we do this. Sorry for the confusion.
Baby. How do you spell radio show? A radio.
R-O.
Oh, thanks. I know if the radio people are like, we're working on getting another guest, so hold on. R-O.
Oh, man. It's working on the... So, I know. We had a big news from the draft weekend. And our football team is the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, the Seattle Seahawks.
Finally won a game.
And now, the Seattle Seahawks won. Oh, and we do have somebody on the line.
Okay.
So let me see. Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Can you hear me? The number is 425. And you're in 9330. You're live. Hello, caller.
So I did send it to him. We'll see what happens.
I wonder why.
His name is Ramu.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Roger, are you there? Okay. Review that caller. 9330. Can you say something? Sorry, everyone.
Well, let's try it again. Maybe we're having difficulties.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi. Hi.
So, yeah, you do. So, yeah, I just was... Okay, so... On 425-246, you're live, so you can just start talking, and they're ready for you.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Nice to connect. My name is Ramu, and I work as a job coach in Seattle for ProVail. It is a supported employment agency. With a mission to create life opportunities for people with disabilities. It's been a great opportunity to learn more about the experience of Michael Rogers, who's been fairly immersed in your radio program. So we are working together to also be a part of the Champion of the Year event in Best Buddies, which is a volunteer movement to create community for people with disabilities. My day job is to help people with disabilities get jobs. So I look at myself as, you know, someone who can develop jobs as well as coach them when they get a job. So it keeps me really busy.
Awesome. That's awesome, well.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for calling in, bud. And that's in, that's in 2 weeks, right? The gala, and this show goes all over the place, but this gala is in Washington State. And I don't know this one. I should have asked you beforehand. But is there Best Buddies all over the country?
Yeah, so Best Buddies is an international organization. It has it is headquartered in Florida. It's over 25 years old, and it has chapters not only in the different states, but also in many parts of the world. like in Singapore, right. Malaysia, many parts of Europe, and so on. So it's a global movement. And within the U.S., we have chapters in 17,000 school districts, and it's growing. So it's a great way to build community and the basic idea is to build friendships, which is really something we need more of right now because of all the changes that are happening in the world.
So we're going to this dinner on the 12th. That's not this Saturday, but the next Saturday after that at Pier 54 in Seattle. If people want to donate, how would they do that?
So if people want to donate, they can reach out to I'll give you the URL, which is which I can type, but you know, because this is a radio program, I have to say this verbally. It's http /engdr.co/1-2875669.
Cool. Thank you so very much. I just wanted to give them an opportunity to learn more about it. So, and you can always, we now have an I almost forgot, but we have an email now that for me and Sean for the radio show. If you do email us about anything about the show, including the Best Buddies experience, we'll be glad to get back to you. So you can reach out that way as well. Sean, can you put up the email address for me? I don't have it memorized. Sorry, but...
Yeah, give me one minute.
Yeah, give me just a second.
Feel free, Michael. She's back
the gala. And the other thing I was going to ask you about is if you could come back some other time or whatever you would like about talking about employment, since you're a job coach at the agency you work for, but how to help people give us some suggestions on the best way to find a new job. If you want a new job, how to develop your skills and have a different dialogue about that ongoing, if you're okay with that, Amos.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, there's a whole range of topics that I can talk about because, you know, I feel that, you know, we have to fundamentally change the viewpoint about how we understand a person because as we age, all of us are going to have some kind of limitation. And so the idea is to see a person as a human being. So disability rights is human rights. And I think, you know, we still have to do a lot of work and that requires conversations and really understanding a person's gifts and talents. So part of my effort is to educate, train, coach, mentor, and also support people so that they can understand and sort of recognize their own talents and potential so that they can just self-advocate for themselves and you know, overcome all the barriers they face instead of hoping that the barriers go away.
Right. And one of the things that, I mean, that you make me see in myself is sometimes what we see ourselves as a barrier, you're like, there's ways to overcome things. And that's one of the things that I appreciate you from you a lot is you make me see things in a different perspective. So that's very much appreciated. What do you think has to happen in the movement to give people actually real jobs? And by that, I mean real jobs, not just some minimum wage. career path. It seems like most people, I could be wrong with this, but it seems to me that most people get a job, but they don't get a career path or an opportunity to make a career path.
Right. So I think right now what's happening is the jobs that are being offered are more career limiting, like, you know, pushing shopping carts or being a janitor and so on. Those are they're definitely a job, but it's not a career, right? Now, to build a career, it is good to learn a skill. And we cannot expect anyone to know a skill without any training, right? So it's good to have an opportunity to do an apprenticeship or have an employer provide the resources to do some training, right? So technology is the door opener for anyone to get a good job. And since technology is becoming part of our lives, it is also an enabler for helping anyone, regardless of their disability, to become independent. So I think technology can be used as an aid, it can be leveraged. And if we use and learn how to use technology and even develop the technology, like in AI, like using artificial intelligence or even learning a programming language or even testing software, all of that will improve opportunities for using our creativity, learning new skills and even reskilling so that you can actually create a career path and get to your dream. And also get paid for it, because it's not all this can cost money.
Sean, do you have any questions for him?
My family is small, and I love the death buzzers. How do you get involved with death buzzers?
How do you get involved in death buzzers?
If you wanted to.
Actually, I think Michael, you know the answer to the question because you've been in Best Buddies longer than I have.
It's a pure on a pure relationship, and in Washington it's about, what would you say, 3 years old, three years ago Best Buddies. But I think he said like 35 overall for the whole country, and that even some places international, but you could easily look see if there's a chapter near you, because we're in different parts of the country, or reach out to us and on the line, and if there's somebody that is having someone, we have contact information to give you a local person, wherever you're located, we can find that out for you. So the other thing about Best Buddies is that they try to do activities that people enjoy. Now, they're different now because of COVID, right? But we used to do a lot of things on Zoom, and we did the Seattle Symphony, and this kid, so we're not so isolated because of this COVID thing, and just be around. But we're so hopefully going to get out some and do some things. So that's my hope anyway. And at least in Washington, I have a little something to say about that considering I'm also bored. But, I think it's a great organization to be able to belong to somebody, to something that everybody belongs, because that's what we want to do, is belong to people. We don't do well with people. It's not an isolated group. It's a positive group. It's a positive place. Everybody belongs. That's what I like about it myself. And, Sean, I think we have a hoot about it.
Yeah, but what happened to the club? What can we have felt that we can do to help more people get employed?
Say it one more time, Sean.
Yeah, what can we have felt that we can do to help you get more people employed?
Okay. Did you understand him? He said what can some advocates do to help you employ help us get more jobs? Was that first of all correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you say that again, Michael? What was the question? I didn't hear you.
He said. What do you think we could do as self-advocates to help us with more, getting more jobs?
Yeah, I think as self-advocates, right, so there's a class of self-advocates called self-advocate leaders. It's similar to the leadership program created by the ARC of King County. So I would say that in addition to a resume, it'll be good to create a visual resume that describes the strengths, the desires, the needs, and the abilities of a person, right? So the idea is not to focus on the deficits, because very often, you know, people can be judged by what they cannot do. So the idea is to show the person as someone who has potential and also the gifts that they have. So that will complement the resume, and those two will allow more opportunities to engage with an employer and find hidden jobs or even develop a job that will match the business need with the skills and talents of the person. So just sending a resume through Indeed will not really give you get a good job. It is definitely a mechanism, but it's not the only mechanism. So okay. I would strongly recommend video resumes and also knocking on doors with more businesses. Assisted by a job coach. That's also the important part, you know, assisted by a job coach, because it takes two to tango. So when you work with somebody who knows the lay of the land, it will help you drive the search even better.
Okay. Thank you.
So would you consider coming back, Rabu, on the show, and we can have discussions and they have pieces of different ways to prepare for interviews and things like that during the year. We're on every first Tuesday of the month from 7 to 9, and we can always either do it live like we're doing now, or we can also tape it as well. So if you'd ever be willing to do that sometime and say your expertise would be very much appreciated.
I look forward to coming more frequently, and you know, we can cover specific topics so that we can have a more elaborate discussion.
Yeah, that's awesome. That sounds groovy. I am curious about one thing, and that is, how do we get, and I don't know how to actually phrase this, but I'm considering we're on a radio show, phrasing it is important, but how to get job coaches, more of them, in the field that we're in, that you're in, it seems, or maybe that's the wrong question, It's like, how do we find good ones? And how do you recommend saying, okay, because you see the glass half full and most and not half empty. So it's kind of an interesting dilemma. How do you help people see their abilities and not their disabilities? I mean, they have one, but I mean, it's not the end of the world. I just wanted to know if you had a thought about that.
Actually, that's a great question. You know, so basically, we are dealing with the David versus the Goliath issue. So the world around us is the Goliath, which looks at the glass half empty. However, David is the glass half full. But actually, David is the glass which is not empty at all. It is rich with talent. So the world around us sees something that has flawed assumptions, right? So I feel that a job coach will be the marketing resource for David to overcome that barrier. Now, going back to the question about finding good job coaches, I think that's just a work in progress, right? I think everybody by default is good, except that they need to learn how to coach, right? So that takes practice, that takes effort, and that's where we have a challenge. And job coaches are not, I mean, they're not dime a dozen, right? And nobody, it is not even an official occupation in the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. So it's an undocumented, invisible resource, just like a few other professions, you know, which don't have a job code. Yeah.
To me, that's fascinating that we haven't even coded. And by coding, you mean by the federal government. So any other questions, Sean, from your end?
No, I'm good. The best for coming.
Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Sure, thanks. It was a pleasure.
So Sean, is Evanova Smith on or off or not yet, or do we not know?
I'm on. I'm trying to reconnect.
Okay, no worry.
Why do that? Do you want to talk about the federal stuff?
Oh, please. You want to get me all fired up? Okay. I haven't watched the news yet in the last hour. Maybe somebody could call in and tell me what's up with the Democrats. But let me just say this. And I called him and told him I'm going to say this so he knows. Manchin is a cancer for the Democratic Party, all right? And the reason I say it that way is this. If they ain't gonna pass anything, why as well not, they're not doing anything, and now guess what's happening? In Virginia, it's too close to call. And the other governor's race, and I forgot where, is too close to call. So my thing is, you want us to vote. But then we vote for you, and you're not going to do anything anyway. What is going on? I mean, and I would love a legislator to want to be on the radio show with us anytime, anywhere, Democrat or Republican, because we got to get back to being common sense about it. Like, here's one thing I don't get. And, Sean, I would love your thoughts about this, right? Like, we're arguing over if people should get dentures for crying out loud. Like, that's people, of course. we should pay for teeth, or we should pay for wheelchairs, or we could just pay for better care in the community instead of an REC. Can I just ask a basic question about the REC? Why did we make that an entitlement? Why don't we just change it so everybody has an option of where they want to live? I mean, I'm so tired of the game. And I don't even want to talk about Texas and abortion, for crying out loud. Like, what? You don't even know you're pregnant in 6 weeks. I mean, let's be real. I mean, most people don't even know. I've asked two doctors. You don't know if you're pregnant in the first 6 weeks. Give me a break. Now, the Supreme Court, come on, let's do something here. Okay, let's have some cojones. And have them order to put some extra judges on the damn Supreme Court. There's no rules that says it has to be nine people.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you're like, okay, he got fired up.
Yeah,
there's no rule saying there has to be nine. There's no rule saying we have to keep the REC open at four REC. We have less than 1,000 people in Washington State, and we can't figure out how to serve them better. It doesn't make sense to me. Even my wife saying, "Calm down," but it's like, give me. I needed a drink before the show tonight because I'm like, really? We have 1,000 people in the REC in Washington State, and we can't figure out how to support them the right way. Really? You wanted to calm me down before I had a stroke.
Hi, Ivanova.
Hi, Ivanova.
How are you tonight?
Hi, everyone.
How are you?
I'm Elizabeth Smith here. How are you all doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm well. I'm honored to be here. Shut them down. Shut them down. I really like what you were saying, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I can't quite figure it out.
I don't care.
Like, we have 1,000 people, and we can't figure out how to close one of them. I mean, give me a break. I would love your thoughts about that. And I confess, I work for the state, but I can't figure it out. Like, we can't figure out how to help people have a better life. Okay, look at the mission fit. Empower people to have a better life. How do you do that if you're in an REC? You can't.
Okay, can we talk about this BS thing that says, oh, well, we can't provide people housing, but we can put you in an institution? How does that make sense? You can put people in these institutions, but you can't give people a home?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really expect
that makes no sense.
So it's like, I'm going to go steal an apple so I get some food today, and then I go to prison, and then you'll feed me. That doesn't make sense either. I mean, we got to do better.
We got to do better.
Everybody deserves food and deserves shelter, but it's not to be locked up in a place where they don't want to be.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I've never really said it this way before, but and I'm talking about Washington State only. And for the rest of the callers, that's where we're from, that's where I'm from, and that's where the guest is from as well. We have 1,000 people, and we have 4 institutions in the state of Washington.
Yeah, so Washington State plans to be progressive. When it comes to institutions, we're very regressive. We have 4 institutions, and we have over 500 people, over 600 actually, living in these places.
Right now, the number as of this afternoon was 1,000 folks.
Just
They didn't want our input because they knew we would tell them to shut down the institutions.
But they didn't want to hear that. And so they used silencing tactics to say, nope, self-advocates don't get to have a say in this work group. And that's what inspired me to make this film, to say, nope, you are not allowed to do that.
Good for you. So are you in the process of looking for sponsors?
Yes, so we have some sponsors. We have a primary sponsor, Representative Paulette, who we've been really working close with and helps Nate their bill language.
Cool.
And we have support on the Senate side with Senator Randall. We also have support Representative Valdez, Nicole Frame, several other Peterson, some other legislators. We're really excited. We're talking to the Governor Affairs Office. We're getting, letting all the governor councils on disabilities and even the non-disability ones, like the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Task Force. We've actually even connected with them about this legislation. And we're actually talking about different ways how we can make this legislation stronger. And we have built a coalition of people and organizations of different disability groups. So we're trying to be very broad in our language around disabilities so that nobody's left out.
So would you consider ever coming back just to talk about the legislative process?
Oh, yeah, sure. Just a bill. Just an only bill.
Yeah, right.
House Bill 1566.
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, so I don't know. What would you like our listeners to do to help you pass the bill? What can we do to help you pass the bill?
What can we do to help you pass the bill?
Well, let your legislators know about it. Contact your legislators if you want to support it. What you always do is more champions. If you want to be involved with more detailed organizations, love to have you at our coalition meetings. And you can just contact me at laurelovein@hotmail.com to get on the mailing list.
Say that one more time for me. Your email one more time.
laurelovein@hotmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way so people don't write it down so fast.
Yeah. And I'll say it a third time just for those who may have missed it. It's laurelovein@hotmail.com. No capitals. You want to get on that mailing list for nothing about us without us, let me know, and I will get you on that list.
Awesome.
Thank you so very much.
Now, you have been on value, Michael.
Go ahead.
I don't know when you mentioned about fail. Do you want to tell other people about what fail is?
Yeah, so SAIL is a coalition of people with disabilities, self-advocate leaders, and we work on legislative policy. We actually can make legislation. We've made legislation about respectful language, about just a minimum wage, accessible parking, all different things of that nature. And we have done a lot of work at the Olympia, at the Capitol, working with legislators, getting self-advocates to meet the legislators and learn from the legislators. And we are We have our meetings every second Tuesday of the month from 1 to 4. We actually are having our meetings hybrid right now. So if you want to be there in person, you can come at the SeaTac Airport in SeaTac at the conference center, or you can just come on Zoom through online and just be on that way. So it's very easy to get involved. And you also, if you sign up for sales mailing list, you will also get our epic newsletter that we send out every month.
Tell me more about the newsletter.
The newsletter just gives updates about what we're doing and little messages from the officers, like the chair and co-chair, and just little updates and photos and things like that. And you can get it in the mail, or you can get a digital version through your email.
Sweet. So, because we're all over the country, I might have you come back to talk about how to start a sale or a different organization and different
ones. Yeah. Every state should have their own version of sale. Sale is a Washington State unique thing, but every state has their own version of sale, whether it's self-advocates working on legislative policy. So there's actually some statewide people first chapters that are the they do the work of sale. Like sale does here. And people first here in Washington is more about, they don't just do legislation. They do a lot of community-based stuff, which is awesome. So, yeah.
So, first of all, thanks for being on. And second of all, Sean, do you have any more questions?
Well, I know. Earlier today, me and Isabel were talking about your life in the institution and leaving the institution. Do you want to say anything about?
Yeah, so if you don't know this about me, my story is I lived in an institution for the first 5.5 years of my life. I lived in Soviet occupied Latvia, and I lived in an orphanage, and I was non-speaking, and it was a really sad and difficult life. I'm sorry, my baby daughter is crying in the room, so I need to go grab her real quick.
Oh, no worries, no worries. That's perfectly all right, anytime.
Yeah.
Wow, can't wait to come back and hear the rest of her story. I've heard pieces of it, but never, oh, that's the little angel. I mean, we can see her, but if you're on the video, of course, you cannot. But,
anyway, what I was saying was, I didn't get to do it like this, what little Hilda be doing, but I didn't get to have a family. I would live by myself with a bunch of the kids I didn't know and who didn't want nothing to do with me. And I lived in we had a dormitory with, 40 beds. We were all just crammed in there. Everything was the same. Every day was the same, and we had no private property, not even the clothes we wore. My adopted parents, when they came to adopt me, they had to switch me out of the orphanage clothes and into clothes that they brought with them. So I didn't even leave the orphanage with the clothes. So there were no holidays or birthdays.
You left when?
I was 5.5. 1994. I got out in 1994.
So,
and
wow,
it was a bit Yeah, it was a big adjustment. Like, I was scared when I first came. Like, I was excited. Like, when they said that I was going to leave with these random people, I was just like, okay, bye. You know, like, I had no problem with it. But once I got out of there, it was like,
so
how did you grow me? Yeah.
How did you get to the United States?
So my adopted parents, they came and they got me out the orphanage, and they had to stay in Latvia for a little bit to get all the paperwork and bureaucracy stuff done.
Yeah.
And then to legally take me out of the country. And so while we was in Latvia, we just stayed at the hotel in Riga. My parents would take me out to different parts of Latvia and show me my country for the first time, because I never left the orphanage grounds before then.
Wow.
I was at the orphanage the whole time, and I had never been outside of the orphanage. And so being somewhere completely outside of it, it was new. It was like, wow.
Yeah, that's
I never got to see, like, the Statue of Liberty that my country has, the freedom statue. I never got to see. I saw my country for the first time right after being adopted. And I was 5 and a half. And I didn't know what these big statues that they're getting pictures of me with. I didn't know what they were for. And they would take me to these old, ancient churches. And I didn't know what that was for, you know. I had no concept of what these things were and what this was for my country.
Right.
And that I was, you know, this was my country. I had no concept of family, even. Like, I had no concept of, you know, you have a family and... Like, I didn't even know what a birthday was. I didn't know my own birthday.
So how do you celebrate yours? I mean, do you actually have did you just pick a date and that's it? Or
well, my adoptive parents, the orphanage knew my birthday. It's just we never had a party. It was not until I was adopted and we came to the United States. I had my first birthday when I was...
Ooh.
You know, cranky being. I can't be holding you the whole time with a one again.
Why not, Frank?
Anyway.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm going to get...
Do you mind me asking what your birthday is?
On September 22nd, 1988.
No, I haven't known that. What was your first birthday party?
Why? That's crazy.
Would it feel like having my first birthday party?
Yeah. What
was that like? I thought it was confusing. I was like, why is it I didn't know why they were having me open all this stuff. And I just opened it and was like, okay. And my sister had to teach me what to do. My sister had to teach me how to open gifts and teach me how to have a birthday. And had to teach me how to celebrate my birthday.
Well, hell, I'm going to show you how to celebrate a birthday. Because, I mean, I just asked my wife. I know how to party like nobody's business.
Well, I know how to party now. Trust me. I know how to party now.
Let me put it this way. You and me would have a good time. I guarantee you that.
I know how to party now.
But I mean, that's just like you're making up for some lost time, right?
Oh yeah, so much lost time.
That's good.
That's why I make a big deal about my birthday.
That's awesome. I mean, you should ask Emily. I celebrate mine for a week. I don't ever work on my birthday. It's against my spiritual beliefs.
That's awesome. I still work on my birthday.
Oh,
I'm on my birthday, so I'm like, people to wish me a happy birthday.
Yeah,
I gotta goof off. I goof off at work on my birthday. So I'm like, I'll go to work. I'm gonna be goofing off the whole time. I'm gonna be drinking tequila and saying, it's my birthday shot.
Thank you so much for sharing that part of your life about Ulrich.
Why I treasure this stuff, like Christmas, birthdays, spending time with people, being around people, doing stuff in the community, playing sports, playing with other people. I cherish that stuff. I don't take that for granted. And that's why, like, COVID-19 has just been hell for me. It's been traumatic for me because other people just said to me, oh, Ivanova, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. You're overreacting. You're being selfish, Ivanova. You're being selfish. And I'm just like, you don't understand.
Have you ever lived
without this? Have you ever not had a birthday? Have you not had a Christmas? I did not know what Christmas was until I was 6 years old. I was 6 years old when I learned what Christmas was. I was 6 years old when I learned what family was, when I learned spending time with people was, having dinner as a family, having starving, like being able to have, like, drop food and people not attacking you, but instead giving you more.
Right.
Like, I remember the first time I dropped a hamburger. My mom tells me this story all the time. First time I had a hamburger in the United States, I dropped it, and I immediately started crying. And my mom immediately started trying to get me, another hamburger. And I couldn't stop crying because I thought I wouldn't be able to eat for the rest of the day.
Oh, wow.
But I was just shocked because my mom going like, no, I got another one here for you. Eat. Food's a really big thing for me. Like, I love to eat, but I like to eat with people. I don't like to eat by myself. And I'm very, like, I'm particular sometimes about what I eat. I'm weird about eating sometimes.
Like, in what way?
Sometimes I don't eat. Like, sometimes if I have a lot of adrenaline for a long day, I won't eat. I'm just too hyper, and so I won't eat.
Gotcha. I know we're on the radio and everybody in the world can hear me, and this will be on tape forever. But if you ever see anything, I'm just a phone call away.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that. Emily and me are just a phone call away if you ever need anything.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. That's my story. I mean, I came from that, and now I am happily married. We're coming up to our 8th wedding anniversary in January. Ian and I have been together for 8 years, and we've known each other for almost 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And you have two little ones?
And two little ones. Yeah, two little girls. One little Hildegard and one Alexandra.
That's awesome.
Two little blessings.
That's awesome.
We live in a house and we're quiet, safe, and happy, and I'm just blessed and thankful.
Yeah, I love the leader community.
That's wow.
Yeah.
That makes you drop the mic. I mean, on a radio show, you're not supposed to be silent, but sometimes it's like, well, what do you
shut them down. What haunts me, Michael? What really haunts me is I think about if I had not been adopted. If I had stayed, because they were asking about to transfer me to an institution that I would not have been adopted out of. They said you couldn't get adopted out of. They were about to send me to
When did you get diagnosed with your disability? Were you
In the institution
so in Russia.
It was Russia because it was the Soviet Union and they occupied Latvia, yeah.
Okay.
They had Latvia under their control, but Latvia technically was their own country.
So how old were you when you come to the United States for the first time?
I was 5 and a half.
Wow.
So almost 6, yeah. I was 5 and a half.
Wow. And where, do you know where that was?
It was in Riga. It was in the capital last year, in Riga.
Wow.
And I know you told me earlier, I don't know, like, something you would want to go back over.
I would love to, yes. I would love to go back to the Freedom Memorial and put flowers under it.
Yeah. That would be cool.
I would love to do that, yes.
If this is too personal, you don't have to tell me. Are you an American citizen?
It took a long while for my adoptive parents to do that, but they were very smart, and yes, I'm an American citizen. My parents got me through immigration court right as I got back to the U.S. They started that process and got me sponsored in. And I had to go through immigration court and all of that. I just didn't have to take the test.
When did you become so young
and I was not speaking, so I couldn't really speak.
When did you become an American?
In 1997 or 1996. So, when I was 8 or 9.
And you are, how old now, may I ask it that way?
I am 33.
I am so old. I'm 54.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm an immigrant. Yeah, that's another thing a lot of people don't know about me is, yeah, I'm an immigrant.
so is my grandparents, you know?
Yeah.
My grandparents are 94 and 93.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're living with God willing, I get to see them. I mean, they're living with my mom now, and I'm going to be there for Christmas this year.
Nice.
God willing. Yeah. They're making for a couple more months, we got Christmas with them, which is a total gift.
That would be nice, man.
Yeah.
Because you're allowed to be both. Both of them are in the 90s. Wow, that's pretty good.
I was wondering, have you been paying attention to the federal crap that's going on?
The federal stuff, yeah.
What's your opinion about that? Because I got on kind of a soapbox earlier. I basically think that the Democrats are shooting themselves in the head because Manchin says no and the lady from Arizona, I forgot her name. They're both in the same party, but they're fighting for each other, and they're not going to get anything done at all.
Mm.
That's what my biggest fear is. And then the Republicans went on default because there's only a 3% majority in the House and a 50-50 Senate, but they're not doing anything with it.
Yeah,
And you know what? Do Republicans will do something with it?
I'm terrified, honestly, of what's happening with the federal government because I don't know if it's a like a subculture within the Democrats or something, but a lot of the policies that are being supported are not liberal. They're not
right.
About freedom. Like, they're not about the, they're about authoritarianism. Oh, you have to do this. You're mandated to do that. It's not respecting people's personal freedoms and personal individuality. Like, people are individuals. And I'm sorry, I don't care what medical treatment it is. I don't think people should be forced into a medical treatment. I don't care what it is.
Right.
Maybe for certain jobs, something should be mandated. But should I really have to show my vaccine record to go to a movie, to eat in a restaurant? It's kind of medical surveillance stuff and this medical, we went from, the medical model is ableist and we need to reform the medical system and they need to respect our rights, to all of a sudden, no, we need to listen to everything the medical system says, and everything the medical system says is right and holy, and we must worship them. Worship Fauci. Worship him. Put it, you kiss his boot. Kiss his boot, Ivanova. You're not kissing Fauci's boot. You're in trouble. You're selfish anti-vaxxer because you didn't kiss Fauci's boot. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? I'm sorry, but I never kissed any doctor's boot. I've never... We don't... Doctors tell people you shouldn't eat too many potato chips. We don't ration potato chips in stores.
Yeah, that's
true. So what the heck? I'm sorry, but...
Yeah.
Are we going crazy? Why am I going crazy here? Like, I feel like I'm... So people act like I'm Ivanova, if you question these mandates, you're like a drunk driver.
Okay.
I'm like, what? You're telling me that I'm the one being drunk right now. This whole conversation doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
We've
gone a little bit too far. Too far, wasn't
we? Oh, shoot. We went too far? Crap. Sorry.
Not you. And then the Democrats went too far. The Democrats went too far left, and the Republicans went too far right. We really need a third party.
We need a third party so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be so nice.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, I have no political home, no party. There's things that the libertarians I like, but then there's things that the libertarians say that I really don't like. So I'm just like, there's no party. I got no party. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I don't know why. I'm just... I'm an American.
I mean, we've had this discussion, and it's a different one than we normally. I'll never forget the time we were together.
Yeah.
With you at the pizza place. So you know where I'm
from. Yes.
That was
awesome.
One of the best
time that I've ever had in my entire life. And I am not kidding. And we should definitely do it again.
Yeah.
We were at a pizza place and we had a ball.
That was so fun.
I mean, you know, like have a beer, talk about, I don't know, grass.
That's exactly what I like to do. I like to just hang out and have a beer with people. It's exactly what I love to do.
So, you know, anytime you want to do it, I'm game. I'm game. Yeah, and we'd have a hoot. I mean, I do want to ask you.
Ask me what?
Hold on, I lost somebody who was saying, Emily was saying something to me, sorry. So, it was just fun, we should get together soon, and so, and nobody knows what the it was, but you do, that was good. So, I was just trying to describe to people, like, it didn't matter what our disabilities were, we were just having fun, and that's one of the things I'll always remember about that day, is it was about us having fun and not what our disabilities were. It was us being people, not our disabilities.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly what I want from my people. That's exactly what I want. I want us to be able to just live our lives the way we want to live them and not have to be patronized or medicalized or controlled by other people, that we just stay in our lives, and that even if we need support, like safety supports or whatever support the person needs, that those supports are going to be used to help a person live their life. So that those supports are not being used to restrict our lives, to take away our rights, to tell us what to do. That's not what these supports are about. And I think that that's one thing that BDA, and this is something maybe you could take back to them, Michael, is they need to stop controlling us. They need to stop controlling the clients. They have this like pyramid thing of like, oh, well, we rule over the clients. It's like, no, the clients, it should be the other way around. The clients rule you. The clients are your boss, not you're the boss. No, they're your boss. That's how I feel. Like, they should treat people like, you know, what are your goals in life? What are your priorities with these behaviors, the issues that you're struggling with, you know?
Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you about this, and I've wanted to ask you this for a long, long time. What we consider behaviors sometimes seems rather interesting to me, because if we're a grown adult, I have to behave a certain way because of the culture that we live in, and I get that. I've been raised that way all my life.
Yeah.
But at some level, you know, I'm not a behavior because I don't act the way you want me to behave, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what about our own autonomy about things like that? And number one, you might behave what they would quote unquote call it a bad behavior, because if I don't, some other bad thing will happen to me. There might be a reason we're doing that without realizing what the reason is. That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly it. Like, a lot of times people, you know, oh, they're just having behaviors. It's like, no, they're probably traumatized. All the time from people complaining about the people they serve, especially with this pandemic stuff. I've been hearing this a lot about people's behaviors becoming more escalated. People are becoming more aggressive. I wonder why. You've taken away all the joys of life. You got to take away all your joys in life. So we're traumatized by that. That's re-traumatization, because many people, you know, they, especially the older folks, you know, they fought decades for those rights to go to the movie theaters when they want to go to the movie theaters, to go to have a drink at a bar, to hang out with friends at a convention or at any, like, events, sporting events or a concert or, you know, a Special Olympics event or a a certain type of community event. Right. And all of a sudden, those rights that we fought for died in an instant.
I have one more legislative question that I forgot to ask you. You would know this better than me, because I haven't done it in a while. Is this year the long session or the short?
This is the long session.
No.
The long one?
No, end of dark.
It's the short one?
It's the short one?
Yeah.
Sean says that, it's the short one. I'll agree with Sean's judgment on that.
So that's what, that means 60 days?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's real quick.
This is about the medical.
It'll start in January, I do know that.
Yeah, I can go. I can work out the day.
So,
by the way, I did work out. How many people were in the institution?
And?
How about 2020? It was down to 584.
584?
So, if they did add more, we have to figure out why.
No, I'll see if I'm wrong. Maybe it did change. But 584, there's four institutions. You're better at math than I am. How much is that? Alexa, 584 divided by 4.
584 divided by 4 is 146.
According to my girlfriend Alexa, 146 total and 4 institutions. It'd be less expensive to close it down.
Yeah,
it would be.
But,
I mean, I'm, you know. And the other reason that's interesting is because of the stats and mandates, we don't have enough people to help people do what they're supposed to be doing in the first place, which is
right. Like, it was bad before. And now it's, like, just worse. Like, you just made something that was a bad situation into a worse situation.
Yeah, cool.
I'm so frustrated by that.
I'm glad you looked it up, Sean. And I'm glad we're getting it down less than 1,000. Maybe it'll have some sense to say we should close one. I know.
Yeah, we need to close it. Stop wasting money on that.
Amen.
Well, I wanted to tell people that earlier today I recorded a video with Ivan Omar, and I will put that on to the Allies Holiday Advocacy website, and we are also working on an article.
I
don't know his wife, so that will be coming out too pretty soon.
So, Evana, will you come back next month?
Sure. I'm happy to.
Okay. Sean, I'm looking at the clock. According to mine, we have 20 minutes. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but let me work. We do have 2 people on the line.
Okay, go ahead. Let's deal with it. If you want to stay, we're great. If you want to get off, that's fine, too. Yeah, I don't know. It's totally up to you. But let's take 2.
No problem.
Oh.
One left.
Okay.
Hello?
I have a thing. Courtney, did you have any questions for Ivan Omar or to us?
I don't have any questions. I would like what you have to say.
Right.
I thank you for being on.
How about you, Craig? Do you have any questions?
Thanks.
Craig, do you have any questions? Five and over. I think I need to do this. Oh. Hi. Sorry about that. Anyway.
What's the first Tuesday in December? Alexa, what's the first Tuesday in December?
The first Tuesday is December 7th. Yeah.
That's the next time me and Sean are on the air.
So what are all of you looking forward to this month?
Well, I don't necessarily know if I would say I'm looking forward to it, but I'm going back to the office. But I need a job, so that's what I'm going to do. But our office will open on the 15th for the first time in a year and a half. And I'm going to be as safe as I can be about it, but bring money into the house. We've done it in the last year and a half, but the office will open again on the 15th. So that's a Monday, and for the public to get their needs met. And we'll go from there. And of course, if the virus changes, I'm assuming, even though I've been told, that we'll do what we need to do when that happens. But everybody at the office has been vaccinated by mandate. I should be good.
Awesome.
Other thing that's happening, at least in my life, is we have the best buddy. I have a beautiful dinner that I'm taking my wife to next week. It's a dinner on the brain injury. And it's in Seattle, and we're dressing up for the nines. I'll be in a tux, and she'll be in a beautiful dress. I'll send you some pictures, Sean, and Evanova, and to you if you would like. And I can't send it to the radio because you can't see it on the radio. But I'm looking forward to being out with my wife and enjoying that evening. And then the following one after that is the Best Buddies thing. And shortly after that is Thanksgiving, which I plan to eat a lot of turkey.
Oh boy.
And that's my plan.
Oh boy.
That's my plan. So what about your plan, buddy?
Let's be dull. I'm hoping I can return to the movie theater pretty soon to get the new Game Bond.
The new James Bond movie? I haven't seen that yet. We should see it together.
So that's going to be fun. I know, but I think most of my family will be together for the first time in a long time. But Thanksgiving, so that's going to be fun.
Cool. What about you, Evanova?
Hello? Yeah?
What are you looking forward to this month?
Just being with my family.
That's awesome. What about you, ma'am?
I'll be with family, too.
We'll have a show before then, but I'm going to spend New Year's Eve or New Year's week with my wife's family and hug Raleigh a lot.
Oh, wow.
So, and not work at all for like 10 days or something. I took a couple of days off, so I'll be off for 10 days without doing any paperwork.
I need to be able to stay out for New Year's.
Buddy, I call New York Times when I call it midnight. I go to bed at
9:30. Yeah. Every year, for about 35 years, I stay up until midnight. But the last couple of times, I fell asleep.
So, yeah?
I don't know. It's so fun. Well, I don't know. I enjoy playing board games.
Board games?
I don't know how to play them. That's the one time in a year I can get people to play board games with me.
I wish we could figure a way to play over the telephone, because
yeah.
I would love to play with you doing that.
Yeah, that's
We'll play some board games on our vacation. We'll bring some board games we can play on our vacation. I'll bring them with us. You tell me which ones you want, and we'll bring them with us.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I've never been looking forward to April.
That show will take for sure. Or use an old one. We're not doing it on the boat.
No, we will not be doing that. What are the boats,
Me and Sean are, and my lovely wife and some of his family, I don't know how many I think, two of them at least that I know of, right?
Well, two for the friend.
So we're all going to Long Beach, California, out of Mexico. Go to Mexico after that on a Carnival cruise, and looking forward to that immensely.
The second cruise.
What is that? That's in April 1st, right?
Yeah, April 1st, somewhere around there.
April 1st or 2nd, I think, through the 9th.
Yeah,
so,
I think it might be April 2nd. We'll be getting on the cruise. But
yeah.
I'll be flying down April 1st.
Yeah, we'll be both on an airplane getting ready to have a good time.
Yeah, but
so,
that'll be my first trip in about 2 years, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then, I know after that, I would probably want to go back to Hawaii because I love Hawaii.
As they say, twist my arm, right?
I've been to Lahaina and Maui twice, and I think it's my favorite spot in the whole world.
What island?
Maui.
Maui.
It's Lahaina, Maui. So.
Yeah. You've been there once already, right?
Twice. I've been two times.
Two times?
Yeah, but it was 2002. My first ever airplane ride was to Hawaii.
That's wild.
And
your first airplane was to Hawaii?
Yes.
That's wild.
Because my family, when I grew up, we always drove everywhere. And
yeah, it's hard to drive across the water.
We drove to Montana, and we drove to California.
We drove to California.
Montana, and then Oregon. And then we drove to Canada. British Columbia a couple times. So, but traveling in a van with five people is not the funnest.
Not the funnest. That's awesome. So, everyone, we have a few minutes left to go. If remind yourself that you could reach us. Please.
I have the email, bro. Somebody
okay, go ahead, buddy.
So
he'll put it up for you. So please feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
That's our email.
Our email, everyone is no more BS, 2@gmail.com.
No more BS at gmail.com.
No more BS 2.
No more BS 2@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. I'll memorize it by next week, the next time we get on.
Yeah.
So please, and I'm assuming, Sean, that there wasn't anything in the box this month. Nothing that we...
Shut them down.
That's awesome. So I'm going to go and find out what's up with the rest of the political stuff about Virginia, the governor's race, and all those things. I haven't watched in a couple of hours because I've been on here. But I hope the Democrats take it as a lesson, because even if they win, they won by the hair of their skinny skin neck. So I hope that people vote, but I also hope that we ask our legislators to do something when we vote for them. So I'm anxious to see what will happen. I should have told you straight up. I don't care who does what, as long as they do something. Right. Are you leaving? We're almost off the air anyway, thanks so much for being here.
Bye.
We'll see you next month.
Yep. See you next month.
Thank you, Courtney.
I'm done. My computer, I read the CNN.com and right now, both of the Republicans are leading.
Are leading?
In Virginia and New Jersey. So,
what did I tell you? Will this be a wake-up call for the Democrats, or is this in future for what's going to happen when if the Republicans win the House next year? Could you imagine that? I mean, it makes me have a box of Rolaids, but come on. Wow.
Yeah, but right now in Virginia, Youngkin is leading 51.2 to 48.1.
Wow.
With 95% in, so he's one. They won. Basically. The other one is...
Wow.
The other one is...
Is that the one in Virginia or the other one?
No. The other one in Virginia.
Wow.
And then...
Holland didn't do it. Wow. Well... Some Democrats are drinking whiskey, drinking beer, drinking their sorrows tonight. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, now that the Republicans are about to know either, they probably won't have to be there either. But...
No, I think that's true.
Nah, that's why we really need a third party people.
Sign me up. I'm for that.
I need a body right now. I'm for the little people, I think. So.
I agree. I agree totally, buddy. I agree totally. I mean, you know, they don't do anything. Mansion. You know? You got what you deserve.
And so New Jersey is 50.4 for the Republicans. And
Wow.
So,
New Jersey.
if the Democrats can't even hold Congress, they would probably lose. Probably all the 40 Congress.
Yeah. And you got one more year of nothing anyway. I mean, Manchin pretty much said that today, right? Or yesterday.
Well, and if Manchin not decided to become a Republican, then Donald Trump Republican.
Right.
So.
Right. Which we'll get, all we'll get is judges, and nothing really done. It's really interesting, right? I know we're not, we're supposed to be, but it's, this is nuts. So I generally don't get on a, well, I'm a political person, and I've only been and this show is about no more BS, but it's like, really? We just need some people to do what they're supposed to do, make our country better, not make everybody rich. I mean, I can't get the coal thing out of my mind. Like, he owns a part of the coal company. Of course he doesn't want to change the environment. But we only have one air to breathe. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know this. I haven't known. I probably don't want to hear people on the internet, but I didn't
know. But I mean, sometimes, you know, we see past the BS.
I just
they both sit on their hands like they can't do anything.
I just don't know if most people are into saving the environment at this point.
Right, we gotta breathe. I mean, Sean, all I'm saying is I like to breathe, okay? I like it. I like breathing quite well, like you.
And we have about 2 minutes left. Do you want to give me the football update?
The football update?
What's happening with the Seattle Seahawks?
Oh, we won a football game, 31-7, finally. We played the Jaguars, and we played them every week. We win some ball games. But we have a bye this week. And the new Kraken is, 3-2, I think?
Right.
But they're brand new. We're happy about that. And go Kraken. And we'll see you next month. I'll talk to you in a few minutes after we're done. Just for a second, okay?
Well, we have 1 minute left, so.
Oh, okay.
What is the final word tonight?
Just be good to yourself. Have a great Thanksgiving, a great New Year. I mean, and we'll see you for our Christmas show. On December 7th,
yeah.
A D-Day. That is actually D-Day, but it'll be a good show.
Yeah.
And happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and be with your family if you can.
Yeah, my final word is be kind to people, help people, however you can, and show them the love.
Oh, I love you, buddy. I'll call you in just a minute after this thing's over to say goodnight, all right?
How are you doing? Very nice. I'm here.
Take care.